that I am about to ask you. So my hand goes up first, okay? How many of you have ever gone dumpster diving? Raise your hand. Ah, come on, be honest. Okay, yeah. I've got some competition out there, don't I? Yeah. Ironically, my first time I ever went dumpster diving, what's this about? Anyway, somebody's out there going like this. All right. My first time that I ever went dumpster diving was in Breckenridge, Colorado, of all places. Tough place to go dumpster diving, right? And so I'm a youth pastor, and we're on a ski trip, and I'm brand new. I grew up on a dairy farm in Iowa. I didn't know what skis were. I'd hardly ever seen the mountains before. I didn't know what a ski lift ticket was. I knew nothing. I wore blue jeans and a sweatshirt out there skiing, and you know, Scotch Guard on the blue jeans, you know. And I'm sure I put on quite a show, but gosh, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with skiing. It was all new, the lift ticket, all that stuff. And I was just having a ball. So we were there 4 days. I woke up the fourth day, and we're in a condo. We've rented this condo, and we have 60 people in a condo made for six. And you know how it is, sleeping bags everywhere. And I wake up the fourth day, and I look at the ceiling, and I said, I can't do it. I can't do another day. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. So I got up, ate some breakfast, and I thought, I'm just going to go downtown, look around, buy Becky something, buy the kids a T-shirt, you know. And so that's what I did. I got up, I ate some breakfast. There was about 40 of us there, and about half of them decided they weren't going to ski either. So I ate some breakfast, talked to some people, and I took off downtown. And I'm walking around downtown, and I bump into somebody who was in our group, and he's by himself too. And he said, you're not going skiing today? I said, no, I'm exhausted. He said, me too. He said, what'd you get for your lift ticket? I said, excuse me? And he looked at me kind of funny. He says, what'd you get for your lift ticket? I said, I threw my lift ticket in the trash. He said, Forrest. He said, day number four is worth about $60. And I tried that cool, you know, like I didn't care. And $60. He said, yeah. He says, you can sell that. It's valid, and it's not illegal to sell it if you don't sell it for what it's worth. And I tried to, okay, thanks. And I walked away, and I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to mess with it. I'm tired. I don't want to even think about it anymore. $60. Then I thought, okay, I'll go back to the apartment, and I'll see if it's still in the trash can. If it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. So I go back, and I go in the bathroom, the men's bathroom. Trash has been taken out. It's not there. So I walk out to the living room, and there's some people hanging out there. And I was trying to act really cool and nonchalant. Does anybody know what happened to the trash? And they're looking at me like, why would you care about that? And I said, no. They said, no, the trash has been taken out. Okay. Why? No reason. No reason. I said, where would they have taken that trash? And they said, well, I don't know. Probably out to the dumpster out back. I think that's the first time I'd ever heard the word dumpster. I grew up on a dairy farm in Iowa. We burned our trash, you know. We halfway burned the house down a couple of times, but we burned our trash. And so I said, okay. So I go outside, and I'm looking around, trying to be cool, you know, just looking around. There it is. That dumpster... That dumpster was as big as this room. I mean, it was a big one. It was a big dumpster. And I'm walking around saying, I am not going in there. I don't care. I'm not doing this. I'm tired. I'm not going to mess with it. I look like a fool. I'm not going to do it. $60. Long story short, what did I do? I jumped in there. Yeah. There was a sliding door there where people threw the trash in. I looked in, and it wasn't full, thankfully, but the floor was covered. The floor was completely covered with trash. So I jump in there, and I'm looking around, you know, and I'm knee-deep in trash, but growing up on a dairy farm, I've been knee-deep in some worse things, you know. So I'm just looking around. I found that bag, picked it up. I could see my lift ticket through it. I ripped it open, took it out, and I knew exactly where to go because I was kind of one of the chauffeurs, and we parked in the parking lot, and you saw people, as you entered the parking lot, you saw people, lift ticket, you know. So I knew exactly where to go. I ran over the parking lot, lift ticket. I wasn't standing there 2 minutes, and a young father walks up with his son, and he says, "Selling a lift ticket?" I said, "Yeah." "How much?" I said, "What I paid for it, $60. 20, 40, 60 right there. Thank you very much. He took off. I went downtown and just blew that money, you know. I have found, now I do dumpster viewing. Like this, you know. Oh, I wonder what's in there today. You know, I look. Yeah, you can find some stuff. What have you found in the dumpster? Tell me. Yell it out loud for just, I'm going to open up. What have you found in a dumpster? Don't say trash. Don't be cute and say trash. Huh? I heard the word cheap, and that's what you are. Cheeseburger. Oh, boy, you are down in there, aren't you? Cheeseburger. I have to admit, I've never eaten food out of a dumpster. Not that I remember. Huh? Lounge chairs, sure. Yeah, good find. Anything else? Nordic track. Yeah, I know what it is. I thought you said tortoise. I'm sorry. I heard tortoise. Nordic track. Whoa. Yours or somebody else? Wow, Social Security, ID. Wow, be careful out there, folks. Yeah. Old broken guitar. All right. I found a lamp one time. You know, we live in an apartment. Before we moved here, we lived in Madison, and you live in an apartment complex. People move, they just throw it away. I found a lamp that worked. I found a brand new trash can. I know that doesn't impress many people, but I was happy. Still had the original sticker on the front. Shiny, never been used. I took it home. She dreaded me taking the trash out when I'd come home. I'd walk in and she'd go, out. No. I found a vacuum sweeper that worked and other things. So, yeah, it's an adventure. I think I could make a business out of it. If you lived in the right neighborhood, the right stuff people throwing away, you could make a business out of it. You've heard of people that go to Goodwill, buy stuff, and sell it on eBay? There may be some people here that do that. I mean, they're making a lot of money. Well, that's my story, dumpster diving. Let me tell you a story out of the Bible. A teacher of the law stood up to test Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, what do you see in the law? How do you read it?" And the man said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do that and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself. And he said, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied by saying, "A man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers, and they stripped him, and they beat him, and they left him for dead. It just so happened that a priest came by. The priest saw the man and walked by on the other side. Later, it just so happened that a Levite came by. He saw the man, and he walked by on the other side. Now a Samaritan passed by, and he saw the man, and he had pity on him. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and there he took care of him. The next day he got up and slid 2 silver coins across the counter and said, 'Please take care of the man. And when I return, I will pay you for whatever expenses you may have incurred.' And Jesus said, 'Now, which of the three gave mercy, or was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the man said, the one who showed him mercy. Now, we've all heard that story. Globally, that's probably one of the most popular Christian stories that's known out of the Bible. There's two things I want to look at. The issue, what Jesus is dealing with, is the word neighbor. Because that's what the teacher of the law brought up. And who is my neighbor? So we need to deal with that this morning, of the word neighbor. A neighbor literally means one who is near. It's not really the one that lives near me, the next door neighbor. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the one who is near, who has a need. And Jesus, as he does many, many times, as the man wanted to justify himself, what was he trying to do when it says he was trying to justify himself? Here's some things that I think were going through the mind of the lawyer. Jesus, where are the limits of duty to be set? My neighbor. That's what the teacher of the law was saying. Where are the boundaries? Where do I set the boundaries of who is my neighbor? I feel comfortable with those within my borders. Can there be those who are not my neighbor? That's what he was asking Jesus. Are there those who are not my neighbor? What qualifications must a person meet to be my neighbor? And who belongs to my concept of neighbor? Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And what he was saying was, I'm comfortable with the people in my life that I call neighbor. They look like me, they act like me, they talk like me, they eat like me, they believe like me. And I really don't want to mess with anybody else. That's what he was asking Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He tells the story, beautiful story. And he completely, as Jesus often does, he completely turns the table on the lawyer and on the teaching of neighbor. Look at the question that he said. Which of the three was a neighbor to the man? Do you see the difference? The question is, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, that's not the right question. If you ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer. And the Pharisee was saying, who is my neighbor? And Jesus is telling him through the story, the issue here is not who is my neighbor. The issue is, be a neighbor. Be a neighbor. And be a neighbor to whoever God puts in your path that has a need. Now, let me quickly say that this word is balanced, isn't it? This is God's word, and it is completely balanced. If it teaches one thing, and you think, well, that means this, then you might run into another verse that kind of pulls you back to the center, because I'm not saying that you should help everyone that you see in need. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that we need to be, what's the verse? As innocent as doves and cunning as serpents. I've got that backwards. Cunning as a serpent, innocent as dove. Jesus is saying, help people, but use your head. Be smart. When I was in Venezuela, if I had my wife and my family with me, I've rarely stopped to help anybody, unless it might be in, you know, two or three women or some people that looked like they really were in need. But if I had my family with me, I was not going to put their safety in jeopardy by stopping and helping, because that was a pretty common way of robbing people. And you have to use your head, see? Sometimes I'll prayer walk in Walmart. Every Tuesday, Thursday morning, we have a men's prayer walk. And the invitation is wide open. And we prayer walk. We usually stay in the car, but we call it prayer walking. Okay, I admit that. And I prayer walk in Walmart. I'll just go to Walmart. And I took some prayer cards with me. And I was just, I talked to some people that I already met, and then I talked to some people that I hadn't met, and they're all workers there. And the question was, the question that I had for that day was, I would say, I go to Centerpoint right over here. And they all say, oh, the big church, that's what we call us. We're the big church. Yeah, we're the big church. And I said, is there some way I can pray for you? Can I just pray for you? And all of them wrote something down. And one lady, I hope she's okay, because she was checking me out. And we're just talking, you know, and she's just checking me out. And we're talking. I said, hey, I go to Centerpoint. And she looked up. She's checking me out. Yeah, I go, and she said, oh, the big church. I said, yeah, the big church. And she's checking me out. And I said, we have a prayer ministry at our church, and I'm just wondering if there's something I could pray for you about. And she just started crying right there in front of me. And God taught me that day. I walked out of there with four prayer requests in about a half hour of walking. People are hurting. People are hurting. And some people are just waiting for someone to ask them, can I pray for you? People do not want to be witnessed to. People don't want to hear the word Baptist. People don't want tracts. People don't want to be preached to. And you know what I say? People look at me and say, don't preach to me. I said, well, don't preach to me either. You know, I don't like to be preached to. I don't like people knocking on my door. I don't like people cornering me, challenging me. I don't like that. But I think I have maybe one person in 30 years, I've had one person say, no, don't pray for me. One. And they're my neighbor. They are my neighbor at that moment. And I didn't pray for that woman right there. There was people behind me, and that moment was not appropriate to have a prayer meeting, you know. But her neck about snapped off, and she said, how did you know that I needed prayer right now? They had a death in the family. Just got back from a trip. So people out there are hurting, and she's my neighbor. That's who our neighbor is. And they don't look like me and act like me, all that, but they're my neighbor. Because God crossed our paths. Well, you're probably wondering where the dumpster comes in to this story. And to be honest, I wondered myself for a while where that was. Jesus looks in dumpsters. Amen? He looked in my dumpster. And Jesus walks up to a dumpster of your life or a group of people who are like, and he lifts the lid, and here's his question. Who's ready to come out? Who's ready? He doesn't force himself. He's not reaching in. His hands are right here by his side. But he's looking in, and he sees it all. He sees it. You can't hide anything from God. God sees it all. He smells it all. He knows what's in there. And these are, let's talk about people who don't know Jesus for right now. People who don't know Jesus. He lifts the lid of their life, and he says, are you ready to get out of this? And if you say no, he says, well, I'll be back. And he closes the lid, and he moves on. Amen? But he lifts the lid, and he says, who's ready to get out? And if somebody says, I think I'm ready to get out, he doesn't reach in. He says, all right, let's talk. Now, if I help you out, and I will help you out, if you want help, I will help you out, you need to do everything that I say. You need to do it my way. Because doing it your way is the reason you're in the situation that you're in. That's your way. So if I help you out, we're going to do it my way. Okay? Okay. Then he'll reach in, and he'll pull you out. I like that verse where it says the kingdom of God is like something and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For years, it sounded just the way that the translator of the Bible that I was using, I was reading from, it sounded like, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it sounded like the gates of hell were attacking Christendom and we were, like this, you know, on the defense. But really, the correct translation is, the gates of hell can't hold us out. That's what that means. And Jesus is knocking on the gates of hell and saying, who's ready? Who's ready? Some people say, no, I'm not ready. Some people say, don't bother me again. Some people don't want to get out. But those that do, they stick their hand out. Jesus takes their hand. He said, all right, but you're going to do it my way. Amen? And my way is Jesus is Lord. Jesus tells us what to do. We become his disciple. I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. I don't think we hear that enough, do we? I am crucified, and I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The interesting thing about all of this, fellow Christians, is that there's just this little, tiny little something in us as Christians, and we're following Christ, we're obeying, we're doing the best we can. There's just this little something inside us that wants to raise the lid of the dumpster again. And just take a look, take a peek, take a touch, take a sip, take a something. Amen? Can you relate with me? There's always that temptation to go back. Who's ready to come out? Now, you and I, as we minister to people, we don't say that. We just minister to them. And maybe they'll see a difference in us, or maybe they'll hear something different. But Jesus definitely looks into dumpsters. And so, why don't we look in them more often, amen? As we meet people, just ask them questions. You know what they say about evangelicals, don't they? Don't you? You know what they say about evangelicals? I've said this before. Remember what I said? What do people say about evangelicals? Okay, well, they say a lot. Okay, they do say a lot. Where am I going with this? Oh, you guys talk too much. And I look at him and I say, yeah, you're right, we do. Yeah, we think we need to preach a sermon like we see on TV or like I'm doing now. No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. If you want to be a good, caring, concerned Christian, not with pity. Pity is an emotion with no action. That's pity. Oh, look at what happened to this guy. Oh, that's terrible. See, that's pity. You do nothing. Mercy, compassion is you see it, you stop and do something. Sometimes I find the best way to minister to somebody is to ask a lot of questions. Ask them a question. You evangelicals talk too much. Why do you say that? Don't go on the defensive. There's nothing to defend. It's true, you know? Why do you say that? And then you listen, and then you... That'll give you another question to ask. And pretty soon that person's going to figure out, this person's actually interested in what I have to say. So let's open the dumpster and ask, are you ready to come out? And be sure and tell the person, now, if you accept Christ, you've got to do it his way. Because how is your way working out for you? We got to do it Jesus' way. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you reached into that dumpster and you pulled me out. You didn't force your way on me. You just said, do you want out? And I said, yes. And you brought me out and you opened the dumpster of my wife's life and you pulled her out and my children. And all most of the people that I know. But Lord, I confess I hang out more with those who are like me. I confess that. And you would rather we do something else. So Lord, put people in our lives that it is obvious that you have crossed my path with their path and meet the obvious need and ask them a lot of questions. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, got a couple of things to say to you. Let's stand up. Let's stretch those legs out, all right? Hey, thanks for being here, but I got a couple more things to say. If you're visiting with us, we have out there in the foyer, we have a welcome packet for you. Please grab one. Please take one. If you're visiting, or this is your second or third, and you haven't gotten one, right over there as you go out the foyer. And on your left are some info cards. You might be asking, what is this church all about? Well, on your left, as you're leaving, there's the info center, and there's cards right there. Grab some things that interest you. Call the office during the week. Mark on that visitor's card, you want somebody to visit you. Make it really plain that you want somebody to visit with you. Give us what information you want, okay? And then we're having that ladies' activity this week, very special. So if some of you could help us pick up these two sections of chairs right here. And if you just lift one chair and put it on top of another chair, that's sufficient, okay? We'll take care of the rest. If you just help us with that. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but it's too late, right? Have a good week. God bless you.